It is April 11th, 2015. This is the KPFA local station board meeting, and it is now called to order. Virginia Browning is serving as our secretary today. Thank you, Virginia, for stepping in. I just want to say that Margie is going to be late. I know Kate Tanaka told me she's not going to be here. Margie's at a community meeting. Anyway, okay. Roll call.
Craig, not here. Virginia, here. Mal, not here. Brian?
Here.
Jose Luis?
Here.
David, here. Is it okay if I say here, or should I? All right.
As long as it's true.
Okay. Donald, not here. Kate Goen, not here. Mark Hernandez, here. Cynthia, not here. Janet?
Present.
Jack? Here. David Landau? Not here. Quincy? Not here. Joy? Here. Samsara? Here. Andrea Pritchett?
Here.
Lewis? Here. Frank? Not here. Kate? Not here. Ramses? Here. Carol? Here. Carol Travis? Barbara Whipperman, here. Burton White, here. Margie, not here. And Rich, not here.
I don't know if all of you saw it, but Margie is stepping down from the chair of PNB. And she served both in that capacity and as interim executive director without any compensation for over a year, and worked tirelessly. And I think when she comes in, we ought to give her a big round of applause. That's me.
I was going to
anyway. Okay. Janet?
Just to add, well, first of all, the chair does not get compensated.
I can't hear you at all.
The chair.
Turn up her sound a little, David.
Right.
David?
Anyway, so, yes.
Turn up her sound a little. I can't hear her.
So, can you hear now?
Try now.
Okay. Also, the Margie will be stepping down as of May 11th.
Jack.
Move to excuse the absences.
Second.
Okay. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay. They are now excused. Approval of the agenda. I think all of you have the agenda in front of you.
Move to approve the agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, Janet.
I move to move item 13D, which is PNB committee assignments, which is there's only one unsettled committee, the governance committee, to be after the PNB report, in other words, like 10A.
What about moving up the new business also? What do you think of that? Right after that?
Well, can we settle that? Yeah.
Okay. All those in favor? Oh, well. So that is the motion to
amend
the agenda. Thank you. And so we want to vote on that. I mean, we can take other amendments and move on an amended agenda. Or if there's a... Okay, we'll just do it one at a time, even though there's not a big problem here. All those in favor? Nobody's objecting. Nobody's raising their hands. Okay? Do you want to discuss it? Does anybody want to discuss this? No. All those in favor of the amendment to the agenda, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Are there any other amendments to the agenda?
That was 13 what?
to 10. Okay. All right. That's it. All right. On the amended agenda, is there any discussion on the amended agenda? All those in favor of the agenda as amended, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It carries. We have the agenda. Okay. Minutes? I don't know that we have minutes.
We don't.
On discussion? Okay. So moving along, the general manager's report, Quincy is not here. Is he coming?
No.
It is his 25th wedding anniversary.
Oh.
And he does not plan to be here.
Oh, well, I can't imagine why. Okay. Pardon?
Did he have any report? Did he send anything?
No, he did not. I think everybody...
No, you've got to talk.
I think everybody knows his big point would be how great we have the new website up and nearly running. Perfect.
Okay. Announcements. Andrea?
Sure. No, my name is Andrea.
Andrea
Pritchett. And on April 25th, Berkeley Cop Watch is having a Know Your Rights training at 2022 Blake Street, and so it's a Saturday from 11 to 3. And I just think it's a relevant announcement because there's so many kind of crazy things going on in the streets of Berkeley these days. So we want to train people what to do, how to get footage, what to document. So see me for more information, but it's April 25th from 11 to 3. Know Your Rights.
Janet.
Yes, the Stop Mass Incarceration Network has organized a shutdown on April 14th, Stop Murder by Police, Oakland, San Francisco, and Stockton. And for exact times and locations, go to stopmassincarceration.net.
Any other announcements?
Oh, what's that? excuse me. Good morning, everybody. April 15th. Don't forget to fill out your taxes if you do that. And it's also National and International Day of Action for fast food workers doing strikes. And here in the Bay Area, there will be a large mobilization in Berkeley, 3 p.m., Sproul Plaza, Bancroft and Telegraph, both labor and community organizations to support fast food workers. And there will be a march through campus or maybe around campus. I'm not really sure what the decision will be that day, but it will end up at the McDonald's over on Shattuck by like 5 p.m. So if you can get there 3 to 4, you'll be in time to make the march. And if you're in San Francisco, there will be a kickoff rally at 6 a.m. and 24th Street and Mission McDonald's that morning. Berkeley, it will be Bancroft and Telegraph.
Samsara and then Jose Luis. Give Samsara. Yeah. Great.
So thank you. I'd like to make everybody aware of the Birth Keeper Summit, which is going to take place here in Berkeley at Berkeley City College. It will begin on Thursday, April 30th, and proceed on through Sunday, May 3rd. It's a gathering of folks who are involved actively in birth work and other environmental movements, looking at how these two energies are actually very much combined and very much needed. There's a crisis in birth with the infant and maternal mortality rates being as hideous as they are. And at the same time, we're losing other animal species and the planet is also endangered. So there's going to be a cadre of workshops and seminars looking at different aspects of these various issues. And on Sunday, May 3rd, there's going to be a direct action. The American College of Gynecologists and Obstetricians will be having their annual meeting in San Francisco, and there will be a direct action against or during that meeting. So I've given the date, and if anybody wants more information, they can talk to me or they can go to birthkeepersummit.com.
Jose Luis.
Just like to announce that Occupy the Farm, a documentary starring our very own Joy Moore, in the beginning of the film, end of the film, is shown. Thank you. She does a great job of representing the community. It is showing tomorrow, April 12th, in Santa Rosa at the Summerfield Theater at 7 p.m. And then it's moving on to Florida, but it'll be back in San Francisco April 21st and 22nd. That's including Earth Day. That's at the Roxy Theater, 3117 16th Street. I highly recommend folks to see it. It's a great documentary.
Thank you. And congrats. I doubt that. Okay. A couple of things on housekeeping. Apparently, sometimes the bathrooms up here are locked. I got in. Virginia and I got in unlocked. But there's a key right over here in front of this would-be vending machine or vending machine, I don't know, on a big plastic. There it is. There it is, in case you need it. And I remind everybody, if you're parked in the lot, to keep track of when your Hoosie Watsis expires. And I may leave early. I have relatives coming in tomorrow. My house is a shambles, and it's, like, weighing on me. So at some point, I might just, like, break and leave. All right.
Do we have to pay the parking in the parking lot?
Yes. Yes. Did you park down there? You've got to go put down a thing in your, you know.
And do the little. Oh, man.
Just get out of here and go do it, you know. Okay. All right. That was my public announcement. And now we'll go to the other public announcements, the community sign up, and we have Kathy Horsley first. No.
No.
You won't
need to
record it.
Right. You have to record it.
A member of the outreach committee. Doesn't sound to me like it's on. Is it loud?
It is. It's okay.
And while we don't we don't give you a regular report, there's so much going on. I kind of felt like you should know that all of what the committee is doing. It could be seasonal, but I'm just hoping it reflects general activism all over. April 14th, this next week, Frank has committed to doing live streaming on KPFA's video channel of a meeting called Sacred and Synthetic. It's a discussion of synthetic biology with genetic engineering and the risks that are imposed by that new emerging field of science. April 15th, the next day, there is a regular KPFA author event in the evening. It happens to be KPFA's birthday party. Outreach committee will have a table on the sidewalk outside the station. We feel like we need to be making the connection between Trader Joe's and all the traffic that goes by the station and make people more aware. We'll have a cake there for as long as it lasts. It would be great if some of you wandered by and stood with us briefly. So do that before you go to the strike for 15 wage up at Sproul Plaza. April 24th, there's a fantastic youth concert at the Gilman Track that Carol and other people have organized. I think it's also a wonderful way to be reaching out to young people. Come enjoy the evening. It's a KPFA benefit, so it's an awesome event. April 24th through the 26th is an amazing weekend, and we're going to be spread very thin. All weekend down in San Mateo, there's the New Living Expo. We'll be there. The Anarchist Book Fair is in Oakland. We'll be there. The 26th, I think there are two events. There's the Ujamaa event with Selma James that Marcus Books is doing with KPFA. And in that evening, another regular KPFA event with Ai-Jen Poo. In June, keep in mind the U.S. Social Forum, and one of the U.S. locations is in San Jose. I think it's a 3 or 4 day event. I would love it if KPFA at least did some live streaming. We should be there interviewing, and outreach tabling will certainly be a part of that. So y'all come. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
I guess, yes. Use the mic.
Andrea
had us a question for you, Kathy.
You guys, the outreach committee is having meetings, continuing to have meetings, and they're during the day, during business hours, right? Yeah. I was curious about just any opportunities for people who are working during the daytime to be able to participate in that kind of stuff and to just keeping the door open there.
Especially in Quincy's newness, we wanted to make it easy for him to be with us, and he has attended a couple of meetings, as has Brooke and Laura. So we'll consider that. Maybe we could alternate.
Maybe every once in a while refresh.
Use the mic, please.
Yeah.
Maybe every once in a while to refresh the possibilities for people jumping in there and, you know, seeing what they can do.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, Carol Wolfley.
Yeah, Kathy already talked about the event at the Gilman, and it's been amazing working with that collective, because Maximum Rock and Roll, which was a program on KPFA, then later on created the Gilman, and it's a wonderful collective of young people working together in a really collaborative way, and so I have some things, and they are really wanting to work with KPFA as well, and First Voice Apprenticeship Program and other programmers have stepped forward to announce it and to work with us. So I'm passing around some more flyers. There's a few posters over here. If you want bigger posters or more flyers, let us know. Thanks.
Great. Andrea has a question.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I just want to make a humbly request that while, you know, these volunteers that are speaking to us are clocking so many hours on behalf of KPFA and on behalf of these committees and so forth, and I would just really humbly request that everybody's on a device or in a side conversation, maybe put it away for a moment just to respect the incredible amount of work that these women are doing and just their kind of tireless and selfless dedication. My hat, my heart. Really appreciate it. And so I think you deserve to have some direct eye contact and us to be present for you as you speak to us.
Thank you.
I just want to note, since people are not, I didn't see a soul who was talking to anybody. I mean, I think people were, you know, just if you're listening to this recording, I just want you to know I didn't see a lot of side conversations. Also, I want to note that Donald Goldmacher has arrived. Okay. There's nobody else on the community sign-up. Is there anybody else who wanted to speak? Okay. Thank you very much. The treasurer's report. To Ramses. Okay. Oh, okay. And then this goes down that away. Okay. Here you are. Okay.
Good afternoon, everybody. Or I guess it's still morning, isn't it? This is one of the most satisfying financial reports I've been able to tell you about. And it has to do with the fact that we've received recently two bequests. A lot of people know about the first one. It was $400,000 some very generous woman left us. And we've also received $558,000. So all those holds that we're in, these were people who died, their bequests. All the debts that we've had to pay are paid. We are actually looking at the possibility of establishing reserves, which we've been we've been skating on thin ice, you guys, to have no reserves in the bank. And it's the wonderful part of this is I don't wake up in the middle of the night and think, oh, my God, what horrible thing's going to happen next that I have to tell people about. But we have paid all our bills, and we've paid things we owe to Central Services. Right now we have $795,000 in the bank, the most I think we've ever had since I've been sitting at this desk. And we have $62,000 in bills to be paid, and the biggest one in there is the monthly health insurance bill. So that means there aren't a lot of bills waiting to be paid. The most current payroll is already taken out of the bank, so that, anyway. So let's look at this financial statement, and the first line we'll look at is line 11, the major donor income. You'll see that this is a six-month report. And in column AE is where we've got this big pile of money. At this point, the balance in that account code is a little over $1 million. So now, of course, people are thinking, what kind of things can we do with this money? And believe you me, the business office has got its list of the things that we are going, that we should be paying for, that we need. And if anybody really wants to talk about that, I have a handwritten list that we can, I'll go through to tell you that what Maria dictated to me last night. Otherwise, yes.
Is it safe to assume that some money is going to be allocated for equipment and technical
yes.
stuff?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And some money's being allocated to replace on-air fund drives.
Yay!
Maybe I should get this list out and just tell you a little bit about it. Yeah, it sounds like it's what people are interested in.
Oh, yes.
And, of course, I don't.
Like, knock out one entire fund drive?
Well, make one shorter. No fund drive on our birthday. Oh, I should have gotten this out already. You know, that's going to take too much time. Here's what I remember. The business manager and the general manager are looking at least $350,000 in a reserve of some sort. And that, friends, is enough for, I believe, two or three payrolls, but not enough to pay all the bills that would come in at that time. So it's a minimal amount to say that we should be saving $350,000. It includes computer equipment, music, you know, related computer equipment. Well, not so much in the building because they've started this Indiegogo thing. And there are certain things that will have to be paid for if we don't raise enough in that to take care of the water that's leaking in the basement and through the roof. And the elevator needs something like $70,000 in repairs. There are some things that were just estimates, and others are known pretty much. So if you really want to, I'll look for this paper some more. I'm sorry, I don't have it right at my hands. This report, I want to say one more thing about all the traumatic discussions we've had about our budget reporting, sometimes center around the use of the word preliminary and draft. And I know last meeting, Donald Goldmacher gave the brilliant suggestion that we just don't have preliminary reports anymore. But I hate to tell you, if you don't have preliminary reports, then you're not going to have any reports, because they are all preliminary until the whole year is finished and the auditor audits everything and gives an audited report. So this report here came from the input that's been put into the system by our business manager and her helpers, but it's sifted through the national office, and it's this report was produced yesterday afternoon by the CFO and his whatever Efren's title is now, financial analyst. So we've got 6 months here, and you can see the comparison of the actual income in each category and the budgeted amount. And then one thing that's different about this report, sometimes we have a little summary after this first section of income in its various categories. We have a summary of expenses by the various categories. And for whatever reason, the report, as sifted through the national office, doesn't have that summary. Then we just go straight into the different expense categories. The first one being salaries and related expenses, the second one being administrative expenses, the next one programming, and then development, and then our related business-oriented activities of the community events and the crafts fair are there. There's a section in lines 119 through 121 about the central services that we owe, and this is an accrued amount as far as the payments go, but we are up to date with the payments we've paid through April, I believe. Maybe it's just through March. So any questions? Yes, Burton.
If it's not confidential, I would like to know the name of the wonderful people who left us the bequests so that we can
we can actually put it in writing and report it to the LSB, but the first one was from Barbara, who has a long Armenian second name that I don't remember, and her last name is Hall. And that was the $400,000 one. And the $558,000, I believe, came from somebody whose last name is Maine. And I don't remember the first name. Is it Jeffrey or Jeremy or James or something? Do you know Brian? No.
Well, I'd just like to note with great thanks that they have allowed us to rest in peace for a brief while.
Yeah, right. Janet.
Yeah, several things. First, I have asked for cash flow reports for months, and we still have not received them. So again, I request that they be sent out between now and whenever the next LSB meeting. And then I have some questions about some of the items on this report.
Some of the preliminary items on the report, okay.
This is page 2, line 65. Fines, penalty, $6,943. What's that about? And then I have some other questions. Do you want to one at a time? Unbudgeted, fine. In that.
No, I don't. $358.
Sorry?
No. 6,000.
Oh, I'm sorry. These, all right, get move. Fines. Okay. I don't know, and we will look it up.
Okay, and then on page 3,
just the line.
Line 105, premiums for other vendors. The it's almost twice as much as what is budgeted, 108,000 plus. Can you just explain what happened there?
Well, it's not exactly twice, but it is over by 42,000. Yeah. Well, we asked the program director last night when this got run off the computer what she thought, and she said, well, we determined that what needs to be done is better guessing ahead of time as to what you want to put in the budget, and that the fund drives have been successful and the premiums are useful, and that was the immediate response. You know, a lot of this budgeting is guesswork, and it's based sometimes on history, but also on certain current trends. And I don't know how much of those two elements went into deciding what budget figure to put there. And we also sometimes cut things that are not fully known if we're guessing a lot when we're doing the budget so that we can balance it. So anyway, that's the answer I have so far.
All right, and then there's line 48 and 49 on page 2. I'm guessing that under budget, that amount is for both the items that are listed in the fiscal year to date. There's two 26,000.
Actually, this is one of the things that last night Maria and I noted, and it's the report that has been, there's a template for reporting these things, and the report template that's used by the national office combines some things that we don't combine, you know, and so you're right in looking at that as an anomaly there. It's
okay, and then one other item is something that was unbudgeted, which I assume maybe should be budgeted in the future, I guess, is item 99, where there's over $12,000 that was spent on printing marketing.
Yeah. There is no budget for it in this template. Now, I'm not sure if this is another thing where in our own format that the business manager uses, there wouldn't be a figure that's part of something else. But it's true. This preliminary report doesn't have anything allocated for the printing and marketing. Now, I'm sorry, what line was that? It was 99. Okay. Jose Luis.
No, it was
it was Jose Luis a few minutes ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jose.
Thank you, Barbara, for this statement. And you know, I think I'm on. I want to talk about not so much the budget or whether the cash flow should be a priority, but more of the reconciliation for last year, so we can be audited, and I think that's a higher priority than any cash flow statements that this board might need. Do you know where Maria is with reconciling last year's book so we can have them audit it?
I know they're really into it. It's being worked on, and they've got all their data. I think there's not a lot of reconciling that needs to be done anymore, as far as I can tell. Aunt Andrea?
I have a few questions, and I have a comment. A number of times when, I think a lot of us are actually really curious about the auditing process, because that has been such a big issue. About the auditing process. And when an audit.
Wait a minute. You're saying budgeting and I
said audit.
We're saying audit.
Auditing, okay.
That we'd like to know when the audit's going to be done and what we can expect. I also am curious, there's been some debate about, or just folks say, well, when does a month close at KPFA? When are the books closed per month? Like March ends, when do we declare a March closed and have reconciled the previous month? Again, the people in the business community that I talk to say that happens within a week or two of the end of the month. One question I have is that our practice? Are we declaring the books closed? Because I've come here before, and we say, well, we haven't closed the books because we're waiting for this, we're waiting for that. And I'm curious what our policy on closing the books per month is. I'm also curious about, I'm definitely curious about the audit process. I'm also curious about the financial figures and wondering if we can get an electronic copy and if it's possible to get these reports prior to the meeting so that we can look at it, because I think it's really encumbers the meeting to have us all looking at this like for the very first time. And so some of the questions aren't as sophisticated or prepared as they might be because we haven't had time. And so it feels like these are sort of a ritual rather than an actual effort to solicit the input of the board on a practical level. And I'd also like to say this. The good news is that somehow, despite our best efforts, we've been saved yet again. $700,000. We get a second chance. Now my question is, oh God, are we going to spend it down and put ourselves in the exact same position we were in last month? Or are we going to use that money to invest at long last in a development director? Are we going to use that money to make more money? Is it going to be part of a marketing? Is it going to be part of a capacity building? What is the strategy? And it feels like this board ought to have a hand in making those decisions. It feels also like if there is $700,000, great. But we have a budgeting process. Either this is a hollow ritual that we engage in, or the GM and the business manager decide how to spend $700,000 and to hell with our budgeting process from last year or this. Do you feel me? If he's saying, let me spend $100,000 on this, let me spend $50,000 on that, let me use that money to do this, then what are we doing? So I would, if the general manager were here, I would hope that we would be presented with a list of options and that we would have some discussion. So that's my comment and those are my questions, and I invite your response. And to the rest of the board and the listeners, I hope you'll speak up too, because this is, your LSB is becoming more and more a moot point every day. And this is one of those, the dollar, the one thing that we supposedly can do is create a budget and recommend spending priorities. And I hope we still have at least that little bit of power.
Well, I think I should say something to Andrea's points. Yes, you can have electronic copies. I'm not optimistic about them being available way ahead of time. And the reason is, and they should be when we get to the point where we're considering the budget or, things are more final than an interim 6-month report. You can study it and bring questions to the next meeting or email questions afterwards. The deadline for closing a month there is a goal of finishing it 5 working days after the end of the month. This has always been extremely difficult for KPFA because of the complicated record keeping that has been done for the types of income that comes in. And you shake your head, but in fact, our business manager has been doing this correctly, and the other stations have been doing some very condensed version of reconciling to their bank accounts. And anyway, the request would be from our business manager that it takes more like 10 days after the end of the month to get all of the information from the subscriptions department, the pledges, the income that comes in, the money that comes into our lockbox and the bank, the different streams of income that we have to handle based on how they're transmitted to us, credit cards, EFTs, and so on. These are all separate reports and lots of individual donors' records. So that's what takes a lot of time. And that may not be a satisfactory explanation for you, but in fact, that's what is. The audit process is set up and controlled by the PNB. And yes, we need to look at these things, but the audit process, unless it involves something like, I don't even know if the audit is mentioned in the bylaws, but if there was a bylaws amendment where our LSB would end up voting on it eventually, that would be one kind of input we would have. But in any case, that's all that I can say about the audit process at this point. The budgeting process, yes, this is something this LSB wants to talk about, needs to talk about. I think it has worked well the way that it has worked by having ad hoc meetings with people and various points of concern about the budget. And I know people have ideas about some other way to do that. Okay.
Point of information. Can you describe what the ad hoc meetings are? Because I'm not aware of them. Within
the kind we've had the last few years, Andrea, where it was announced that there were meetings. It was announced when the business manager would be available.
Oh,
two
I see.
Afternoons,
okay. All right. So
or
they're not
an
ongoing.
Evening. No, it is ad hoc at the time that we're working on the budget. Okay. Virginia.
Could you give Virginia a mic?
I did.
It's sort of not working.
Jack, your foot. It's under your foot. There you go.
Okay, so the list from the business manager, I would like to request that you do send that, if you can, by email to people.
Which list?
The list. You said the business manager made a list of the different items that
well,
are needed.
Well, this is it. I found it, and I will read it to you. It fluctuates a little.
Okay,
I don't think they need to be pinned down. This will be another interim preliminary. Just will list the subjects. And as I did find it, there's some of them are things that the amounts are more known. The others are a guess. But we can read it today, too. I will do that.
Okay. So you found it. Okay.
Yes.
So let's see. What else? In a sense, you know, I appreciate a lot what Andrea was saying, that the LSB does have a task, and it is to, sometimes it comes in a slight conflict with some of the self-interest of some of the paid people at KPFA if they are, I mean, not that they're not, you know, wonderful people, but the reason for having a board separate from that is so that people whose livelihood is, you know, made larger by the money that is available aren't the only ones that get to decide how the money's spent at the station, because some of us have a vision for the station that includes really trying to make the world a better place by reaching out to a large community of people that don't necessarily have a lot of money or don't get paid at KPFA. So some of us feel that our job here is to make sure that the voice of the voiceless, including the people that aren't paid at the station, is heard. So there's a role for the LSB to have oversight and have some input and be able to have discussion, as she was saying, about the items on those lists so that the lists are not just made by the people that get paid. I know that some of the unpaid staff at the station have felt sometimes like they had to just struggle mightily. And David, I'm not sure. I know you're listening. Maybe you're also listening with a face that I'm misinterpreting as disagreeing. But other unpaid staff members don't necessarily feel like they have a lot of access to some of the equipment there. So it's important for people that aren't getting paid, people on the LSB from the listener community, to have some say in how money, to have some discussion at this point, when there is money, how it's going to be spent.
I'll respond to just this last thing that you said, Virginia. Some of the things on this list very much address volunteer staff as well as paid staff, and that is to get some decent chairs. Everybody has complained about the physical difficulty of sitting with broken down furniture all the time. And then also another thing that is on the list is equipment for the, you know, in the sound studios, CD players and that sort of thing that we often hear people struggling with, you know, well, that CD player didn't work, I have to, you know. And so this is a time where this kind of equipment that's used by both paid staff and volunteers is going to be addressed. Another thing, I know it's important to some of you to talk about employees having a self-interest in the budget and the money, but the drawing up of a document like the budget is not just their self-interest. It is in their job description. It is what they are hired to do. And they are the ones who daily work with the income and the expenses, and they see what's needed. And it's not that the LSB should be shut out altogether, but it is also not the LSB's responsibility to make up the budget. It's the responsibility of the people who are hired to do that. And in fact, then we also have the opportunity for staff evaluations. So.
Here's your list.
Okay. Next is Lewis.
Could you give Lewis the microphone, Jack?
Oh, thank you.
You have to bring it back here. Okay.
I have a better idea.
The easy
one. All right.
Thank you for that athletic performance. I would like to shift the discussion now. First of all, I'd like to acknowledge that I see the previous discussion and that kind of activity in our board meetings as valuable, and I certainly would like to keep that. But at the same time, I would like to remind us all that we, without a dissenting vote, maybe one abstention, but without a dissenting vote, we agreed that our priority would move to the board being a fundraising body. and that we learn how to do that and structure ourselves so we can do that well. And that would sort of cross the argument about the value of these meetings and what our duties are. We all have the duty to raise money for the station, and that affects us all. And that's something we can be unanimous about. So I would direct our priorities to what kind of structure we're going to use and how we're going to start implementing that resolution to raise money for the station.
Thank you, Lewis. Donald.
Part of what Andrea said is something that I think we can certainly discuss and recommend to the general manager, which is that we do establish a position for a development director, or we bring somebody on as on a contingent basis for 6 months or a year, and the direction is raise money or you're gone, using some of this money that was gifted to us. Because we certainly had that discussion over and over again, and this may be an opportunity. The other point with regard to audits, the audit is conducted, well, I'm sorry, each station has to generate the appropriate materials station by station to present to the national office so that there is enough data to actually proceed with an audit. And KPFA has actually performed better than most of the stations in that regard. And the 2013 audit was just completed a few weeks ago. And the 2014 audit is underway, I believe, right now. So what in terms of the problems with audits, it's a station-by-station issue. And KPFA does not have control over the business offices in other stations. And you do know there was a bit of a disruption in the national office function, shall we say, last spring, which certainly set back efforts to get audits done in any kind of a timely manner. And so that's where we sit. So in terms of our station, our business manager is doing those reconciliations for 2014. What the other stations are up to at this point, I have no idea. And I'm on the audit committee.
And so is Jose Luis. Let's go to Burton.
I too agree that to the extent possible that having the financial data in advance of the meeting would be helpful, but to the extent possible. And I'd like to make a mention about a risk of comparing us to a business, because we're not, it's like the Republicans saying that government should be like a business. They are not comparable entities given the reality. We don't have a 100% full-time staff. We don't have a full resource in finances. A lot of it is done with our fingers crossed. But I do think that's important. Barbara, correct me if I'm mistaken, but my understanding of a budget is that it's a goal, a plan, not legislation that restricts us, and that the people in management...
It's not a contract.
People in management positions have to make day-by-day decisions in that regard, and they report to us what those decisions are, and then that's part of what we make in an evaluation of their performance. I'm a little bit troubled about using the board as the voice of any part of the staff, paid or unpaid. As I understand it, there are 200
wonderful people who are volunteers who do help keep this station alive. But I would guess that that's not a monolithic group of one view. And I suspect with 200 people, we'd have an awful long board meeting to discuss all of their views. My recommendation is that those people go through management with their suggestions. I don't think it appropriate for the board to forward individual or groups of individual staff people of whatever category. But on the other hand, if they come forward in the normal internal process and are not given some sort of a fair hearing, then that should be reported to us and we can take it into consideration when we evaluate people. But I just wanted to remind people that the board's job is not to micromanage, and I'm finished.
Okay, thank you.
All right. I just want to note that we have on the list some people who have spoken twice, so I'm putting them after the people who have not spoken yet. And so I have Joy, Jack, Ramses, David, who have not spoken yet, and then I have Janet, Jose Luis, and Andrea. So, Virginia. I had, wait a minute, Janet, Jose Luis, Virginia, and Andrea.
That's the second round.
That's the second round. So we're now at Joy.